Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 14th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the White House questions China's transparency on the coronavirus.
Global cases climb past 63,000 while the death toll nears 1,400.
Impact from the outbreak spreads from cruise lines to toy makers and global e-commerce.
It's a rare public rebuke against President Trump from Attorney General William Barr, plus the Senate votes to limit the president's war powers against Iran. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A comeback shootout win for the Rangers. The Devils won. The Islanders lost. And Houston Astros players spoke about the sign-stealing scandal.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
Global stocks are mixed as we head into the final trading day of the week. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 31. NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. CAC in Paris down about 0.2%. And the FTSE 100 is little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.6%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.59%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.42%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.25% or 63 cents at $52.05 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $15.79.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0842 against the dollar. The yen 109.82. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest numbers on the coronavirus. China's Hubei province reports an additional 4,800 infections today. That appears to confirm that yesterday's 15,000 new cases was a one-off. The death toll was revised lower to less than 1,400 after some fatalities were counted twice. Let's get more on the ground in China. Bloomberg's Selena Wang is in Beijing.
The World Health Organization has pointed out that those cases added yesterday had dated back days and weeks before and did not represent this sudden new surge in infection. So we'll have to monitor in the coming days, but we could again start to see that trend line start to stabilize. This all does come down to the new reporting methodology, which now includes a group of new patients that are diagnosed through CT scans. But this all places renewed focus on questions around the reliability of the data coming out of China and the true extent of the outbreak.
Right now, China says total cases of the coronavirus number more than 63,000.
The White House is stepping up criticism of China's response to the outbreak.
On this particular matter, we are quite disappointed in China's response.
Economic advisor Larry Kudlow is voicing doubts about China's accuracy in counting new cases and the number of deaths related to the virus.
Is the Politburo really being honest with us? We thought there was going to be more transparency, but we're a bit disappointed.
Kudlow says U.S. health experts still have not been allowed into China to help treat and contain the outbreak.
A business in the region is being hit hard. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie is covering the fallout and brings us details from Beijing.
You see and hear from the likes of Alibaba, the e-commerce giant, saying there's going to be a fundamental impact now on the Chinese consumer and Chinese merchants. You're hearing from the toy maker Mattel saying they're going to see a hit. Royal Caribbean Cruises, they're banning all cruises now in Southeast Asia. So those shockwaves continue, as of course China is trying to ensure that the quarantine measures are still in place in Hubei while it's also trying to kickstart the economy here.
Meantime, research from a scientist at the World Health Organization warns as much as two-thirds of the globe could eventually contract the virus. His estimate is based on data showing infected people transmit the disease to two or three others and implies total infections could grow to the billions.
Markets in Asia showing no strong reaction to these developments. Stocks finish the day mixed. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The Nikkei 225 closed down 0.6% in Tokyo, while Hong Kong stocks rose and the CSI 300 pushed higher to come close to erasing its post-Lunar New Year losses. Stocks in Taiwan, South Korea and Australia also advanced. In currency moves, the yuan continued to trade stronger than 7 to the dollar. Australia's 10-year yield was little changed at 1.05% Friday, with global bond yields set for a weekly advance on optimism that there will be a V-shaped economic recovery from the virus. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Juliet. In Europe, we're getting data out of Germany showing the country avoided contraction in the fourth quarter, but still, the prospects for 2020 look grim. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing joins us live from London with more. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Germany flatlined at the end of 2019. Europe's largest economy is now one of the region's weakest performers. Expansion last year was just 0.6%. And there's still plenty of trade uncertainty, plus the impact of the coronavirus to come this year. Not to mention political instability in Berlin with the resignation of Angela Merkel's heir apparent as Chancellor. And just to add to the joy, the country's flagship car industry is facing upheaval as it tries to transition to the low-carbon era. Live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Roger, thank you. Back here in the U.S., President Trump's pick for the Federal Reserve came under bipartisan fire in the Senate. Republican Senators Richard Shelby and Pat Toomey joined Democrat Sherrod Brown in expressing concern over Judy Shelton's nomination.
Dr. Shelton, I do have some trouble by some of your writings and some of the articles.
You believe the Fed should actively seek to devalue our currency if other countries are doing that. And I think that's a very, very dangerous path to go down.
The bottom line is Ms. Shelton has too many alarming ideas and has flip-flopped on too many important issues to be confirmed for this job.
Judy Shelton is a former advisor to President Trump and has publicly supported his policies. She fielded multiple questions about her allegiance to the White House and her ability to be independent.
Ms. Shelton, do you pledge to be independent in your decision-making regardless of what the president tells you to do?
I pledge to be independent in my decision-making, and frankly, no one tells me what to do.
A single Republican vote against Shelton is enough to block her nomination. That's assuming Democrats on the committee are united in opposition.
And stay tuned for more on the Fed today when we sit down for an exclusive interview with Loretta Mester. The Cleveland Fed president joins Bloomberg's Michael McKee for a conversation at 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. S&P futures higher by 5 points, Dow futures up 20, NASDAQ futures higher by 26. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. At 6:07 on Wall Street, Michael Barr has the latest world and national news headlines. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. It is a rare public rebuke for President Trump from one of his most trusted cabinet members. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
Attorney General William Barr declared in an interview with ABC News it's time for the president to stop the tweeting about Department of Justice criminal cases.
I'm not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody.
And he insisted that's not what happened when he decided to reduce the prison sentence recommendation for Trump friend Roger Stone, that he had made the decision before the president tweeted criticism that the sentence was too harsh. It demonstrates the problem, Barr says.
I cannot do my job here at the department with a constant background commentary that undercuts me.
Some Democrats on Capitol Hill called on Barr to resign. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Senate has approved a bipartisan measure aimed at limiting President Trump's authority to launch military operations against Iran. Eight Republicans joined Democrats. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The president does not have the authority to go to war. Democratic and Republican senators have made that crystal clear. No president can sidestep Congress when it comes to matters of war and peace.
President Trump is expected to veto the War Powers Resolution if it reaches his desk. Nevada's powerful Culinary Workers Union declined to endorse a Democratic presidential candidate ahead of the state's February 22nd caucus. The union has criticized Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All proposal, which it has warned would replace the health care benefits the labor group has negotiated over the years. President Trump and Governor Andrew Cuomo failed to reach an agreement to resolve a dispute over the administration's decision to ban New York State residents from using programs that allow speedier customs and immigration checks. Trump and Cuomo met yesterday at the White House. During a news conference, Cuomo pledged not to let federal immigration agents see lists of people who had applied for a new type of license that does not require applicants to prove that they are in the U.S. legally.
If they think they're going to extort New York into giving them the database of undocumented people, they're wrong. I will never do that.
Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf says New York is the only state that restricts customs and border protection access to their data across the board. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, sign stealing in Houston dominated the baseball offseason. We had heard from Astros owner Jim Crane when he fired his manager and GM. The ex-manager A.J. Hinch recently did a sit-down interview. We had not heard from any of the Astros players. Yesterday, Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve both delivered brief and somewhat robotic apologies, but Carlos Correa was later more forthcoming, and he was asked about a recent report that painted Carlos Beltran as the ringleader of the scheme.
Beltran was obviously a leader of the clubhouse, but we all had a say in everything that we were doing in there. And whatever he said and whatever we were doing, we had the chance to stop it as a team. Everybody had the chance to say something, and we did it.
Beltran, of course, spent his offseason getting hired and then fired as Mets manager. The Rangers were down 3-1 with 8 minutes left in Minnesota. Mika Zibanejad scored with over a minute to play to tie the game. Then he and Artemi Panarin scored in the shootout, and the Rangers won 4-3. The Islanders lost 5-0 at Nashville. Rough night for Thomas Greiss. He gave up 3 goals and only 8 shots got taken out. The Devils, a 4-1 win over Detroit. They got all 4 goals in a 4-minute span of the second period. Celtics, a double overtime win over the Clippers as the NBA heads to Chicago for All-Star Weekend. The Knicks' R.J. Barrett will be in the Rising Stars game tomorrow. Hofstra got 28 points from Eli Pemberton and beat Charleston to stay atop the Colonial Athletic Association. Matt Kuchar, 7-under-64, 3-shot lead at Riviera with Tiger Woods 5 shots behind. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Rev up those engines. Not only is it NBA All-Star Weekend, but this Sunday is the Daytona 500. So who better to speak to tonight on the Bloomberg Business of Sports show than NASCAR President Steve Phelps. You can catch that conversation tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. S&P futures are higher by 4 points. Dow futures up 12. NASDAQ futures a gain of 23.5 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Beijing says U.S. experts are welcome to join a mission to study the coronavirus outbreak. That's after American officials questioned China's transparency. Consensus calls for headline retail sales to rise 0.3% in January. Core sales are forecast to slow to the same pace as electronics and clothes purchases sagged. The euro area economy is in the slow lane. Regional GDP rose just 0.1% in the fourth quarter. That's the same lackluster pace as the previous period. And on the earnings front, Roku beat estimates thanks to a surge in active accounts. Results at Nvidia saw strong demand for data center and gaming chips, and Expedia is predicting double-digit profit growth this year. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures up 3.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 11. NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32nds. Yield 1.59%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.42%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.5% or 75 cents at $52.17 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $15.79.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0844 against the dollar. The British pound 1.3040 and the yen 109.80. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Democrats plan to investigate what they call Attorney General William Barr's efforts to politicize federal law enforcement. The new oversight comes after Barr overruled prosecutors who recommended that Trump confidant Roger Stone be given 7 to 9 years in prison. Meanwhile, Barr told ABC President Trump's tweets make it impossible for him to do his job. The War Powers Resolution has passed in the Senate with a bipartisan vote. The measure would limit the president's powers to use military action against Iran without prior congressional approval. In the NHL, the Rangers won in a shootout. The Devils won along with the Capitals. The Islanders lost. In the NBA, the Celtics won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. It's almost 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Now we want to bring you the latest on China's coronavirus. The number of confirmed cases is still rising, but not nearly at the same level as yesterday when Hubei province changed its method for counting infections. And that appears to be calming markets. Greg Staples is with DWS Group.
There's no more panic anymore. I honestly think that investors were looking at good fundamentals before all of this. They said the only thing we have to worry about is a black swan event. Now we've got the black swan event. We can get our arms around it. Let's roll. Let's move on.
Chinese President Xi Jinping may be trying to assert more control with a new Communist Party secretary taking over in Hubei. Tony Rodriguez is head of taxable fixed income at Nuveen Asset Management.
This was maybe a little bit of a wipe the slate clean for the new guy coming in who's close to Xi. And maybe from here, because outside of Hubei, you didn't see an acceleration in cases. So I think there's a little bit of internal political kind of propaganda that might be working here as well.
And the Chinese government is sounding committed to meeting its economic targets despite the outbreak. Stephen Parker with J.P. Morgan says the market is counting on stimulus.
You've heard it from the Fed. You've heard it from other central bankers. They acknowledge that this is going to likely create a temporary slowdown in growth. That means they're going to stay accommodative, which is a core tenet of the bullish view going forward.
Well, still, the outbreak has hit commodities hard. The three big oil forecasters have all cut back demand estimates due to the virus. Jeff Curry is Goldman Sachs head of commodities research.
The current environment is pretty dire. What's going on in China? I mean, you saw the Baltic Freight Index went negative, which is an indication just how weak the demand picture is.
Despite that, crude is set for its first weekly gain. Traders are weighing whether Russia will agree to production cuts with its OPEC allies. West Texas Intermediate right now is up 1.4% to $52.16 a barrel, while Brent's higher by 1.5% at $57.20. Now to some other stories we're following. Microsoft is going to have to stop work on a $10 billion Pentagon cloud computing contract for now, thanks to a federal judge's order. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The decision came after Amazon asked for the delay as it challenges the validity of the award over allegations that President Trump interfered. According to the decision by the Court of Federal Claims Judge Patricia Campbell Smith, the government can't proceed with implementing the contract, quote, until further order of the court. The judge's full opinion was posted under seal. A Microsoft spokesman said the company was, quote, disappointed in the ruling and reiterated that the Pentagon's procurement process was fair. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Tesla's facing questions about its cash flow once again. The electric car maker announced another $2 billion stock offering 2 weeks after CEO Elon Musk said the company wouldn't need one. Joe Osha with JMP Securities says it's not too big a concern.
This company still is carrying a lot of debt, right? And so they could pay some of that down if they choose to do so. But at the most basic level, it's make hay when the sun shines, right? Certainly the company can use some additional resources. And if the market wants to hand them this 100 billion plus market cap, take advantage of it.
And sources tell Bloomberg the secondary offering is priced at $767 a share. Right now, Tesla's down more than 1.5% in the pre-market. Now let's get to some earnings. NVIDIA is out with a revenue forecast that beat estimates thanks to demand for data center and gaming chips. Shares of NVIDIA are higher by 6% in early trading. Expedia gaining nearly 12% in the pre-market. The travel booking site projects double-digit growth this year, even with slowing global demand due to the coronavirus. Roku's fourth quarter results beat expectations. The video streaming platform had a surge in active accounts thanks to new services like Disney Plus going online, and Roku's up almost 8% in early trading. In Europe, shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are falling. The firm's operating profit beat estimates, but the bank continues to see challenges for income this year. We spoke with Chief Financial Officer Katie Murray.
We're clearly going to incur some losses in terms of the resizing of NatWest Markets. You know, and the yield curve is still this going in this direction, and we, in our own economics, in our base case, are anticipating that we'll have another yield curve cut. Those things all make income harder, particularly for banks.
You heard Murray refer to the bank as NatWest Markets. RBS is rebranding under the name of its investment bank. Shares are down more than 7% in London. Here in the U.S., we get a reading on retail sales at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists predict a gain of 0.3% in January. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Don't expect fireworks. Bloomberg Economics sees moderation and discretion.
discretionary spending in today's data. Electronics, clothing, sporting goods. Motor vehicles probably eked out a mild gain based on auto industry data. Lower petroleum prices in the meantime could weigh on January's headline. Also today, we get data on import prices, industrial production, consumer sentiment, and business inventories. Bloomberg customers can find a full list of economic indicators by typing EcoGo on their Bloomberg terminal. Vinny Del Judice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. Futures pointing to a higher open this morning on Wall Street, and you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. The Only Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 99.1.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are heading for a second week of gains as investors anticipate a recovery from the coronavirus. The latest on the outbreak has China's Hubei province reporting more than 4,800 new cases and 116 new deaths. At the same time, the death toll has been lowered by more than 100 after some fatalities were counted twice. We get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The new cases include 3,095 patients clinically diagnosed. That refers to the new method of using CT imaging scans to diagnose patients. They are added to those confirmed by the previous method of testing kits. For comparison purposes, without the scans, the number of new cases would be 1,728. That would be the lowest number this month, and it might mean the infections had peaked. But given the changes, no one would appear comfortable with that assertion just yet. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. In Europe, Germany says the coronavirus is adding more risk to its outlook. The comments come after Europe's largest economy reported zero growth in the fourth quarter.
Here in the U.S., we get the January reading on retail sales this morning. Economists forecast an increase of 0.3%.
President Trump's pick for the Federal Reserve came under bipartisan fire in the Senate. Republicans Richard Shelby and Pat Toomey joined Democrat Sherrod Brown in expressing concern over Judy Shelton's nomination.
Dr. Shelton, I do have some trouble by some of your writings and some of the articles.
You believe the Fed should actively seek to devalue our currency if other countries are doing that. And I think that's a very, very dangerous path to go down.
The bottom line is Ms. Shelton has too many alarming ideas and is flip-flopped on too many important issues to be confirmed for this job.
A single Republican vote against Shelton would be enough to block her confirmation, assuming Democrats on the committee are united in opposition.
And we do have this headline, crossing the Bloomberg. Tesla's stock offering is priced at $767 per share. Shares of Tesla down 1.7% in early trading. S&P futures are higher. They're up 5 points. Dow futures up 27. NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany, it's up 0.25%. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.59%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.43%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.5% or 78 cents at $52.20 a barrel. And COMEX gold little changed at $15.79.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.0841 against the dollar. The British pound is at 1.3035. And the yen is at 109.81. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Attorney General William Barr says President Trump's tweets and public comments about the Justice Department and ongoing cases make his job impossible. In an interview with ABC, Barr says he is not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody, and he's going to do what he thinks is right.
I cannot do my job here at the department with a constant background commentary that undercuts me.
President Trump tweeted that he thought the original recommendation for a 7 to 9 year prison term for his confidant, Roger Stone, convicted of lying to Congress and witness tampering, was a miscarriage of justice. Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell was asked about Barr's comments.
I don't buy it. And also, I mean, tell me the time where Bill Barr, you know, went to a court and said, you know what, that young black man who is being over-prosecuted for having cocaine on him disproportionately to white persons, we're going to lower the recommendation on that. That's not happening. I mean, this is only happening for the president's friend. It's not the first time.
President Trump says he may break the tradition of letting people listen in to his conversations with foreign leaders. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This is a long-standing practice. He says it may end entirely. This issue was, of course, the crux of the impeachment effort. He also tells Geraldo Rivera because of his impeachment, he looks at the president's pictures in the White House in a very different way.
The portrait of Richard Nixon, it's a little bit of a different feeling than I get from looking at the other portraits of presidents. And I got impeached for no reason whatsoever, partisan, totally partisan.
He referred to the days of the Nixon impeachment as dark. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Senate approved a bipartisan measure that limits President Trump's authority to launch military operations against Iran. 8 Republicans joined Democrats in the vote. New York's JFK Airport is about to undergo a $3.8 billion expansion of its busiest terminal. Board members of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey signed off on it. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the Houston Astros owner, new manager, and several players spoke about the sign-stealing scandal. There were apologies, though everyone was short on specifics, and no one from the Astros was willing to say their 2017 championship was tainted or should even be taken away. And what about last season when Jose Altuve hit the pennant-winning home run off the Yankees or Aroldis Chapman? Why was he so adamant that his jersey not be ripped off? Was he wearing some kind of electronic device? His teammate is Carlos Correa.
If I'm lying here, I would lose credibility if something like that comes out, and that's not what I want to do. You guys know me. I want to speak the truth every time I'm talking to you guys, and, you know, it's just straight up false. Nobody wore anything. 2018, nothing. 2019, nothing. 2017, nobody wore devices either. It was just, you know, what was out on the report.
The Yankees' Gerrit Cole, who spent the previous two seasons in Houston, said yesterday he was unaware of any electronically induced sign stealing. Rangers, a nice win in Minnesota. They trailed 3-1 with 8 minutes left. Mika Zibanejad scored with just over a minute to play, and then he and Artemi Panarin both scored in the shootout, and the Blue Shirts won 4-3. The Islanders, with a rough night, lost at Nashville 5-0. Devils, a 4-1 win over Detroit. The NBA has hit the All-Star break. The game is Sunday in Chicago. The Celtics last night beat the Clippers in double overtime. Matt Kuchar shot a 7-under-64. He leads the Genesis Golf in L.A. by 3 shots. Tiger Woods trails by 5. College basketball, Hofstra beat Charleston. In the Northeast Conference, LIU won. St. Francis lost, and Fairleigh Dickinson by 33 over Wagner. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashell. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
American homeowners cash in fast on low rates. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. It turns out Wall Street bond traders aren't the only ones who can turn quick profits on falling interest rates. Mortgage origination volume in the final 3 months of 2019 soared to $752 billion, the largest since the end of 2005. The New York Fed attributed the surge to a large increase in refinance activities. It's not as if every drop in long-term U.S. Treasury yields has led to this kind of refinancing boom, and especially not as quickly. The difference is almost certainly due to technological advancements that serve to speed up the reaction time to lower interest rates in the mortgage market. Some data show that it now takes 35 days to close on a refinancing, compared with 47 days in 2016. This quicker reaction to changing interest rates will cause headaches for mortgage bond investors. But it's encouraging that homeowners have new ways to quickly and easily lock in savings on their mortgages. With interest rates seemingly lower for a lot longer, Main Street deserves a taste of on-demand cheap financing. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It's 6:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
U.S. small business owners are facing a shortage of products or components because suppliers in China, who closed for the weeks-long New Year holiday, remain shut due to the coronavirus. Current inventories are running low, and resupply isn't guaranteed. It can take 6 weeks for shipments to travel by sea and make it through customs in the U.S. If factory shutdowns are prolonged, it's going to be a tight squeeze. If China's factories aren't producing again in 3 to 4 weeks, small businesses may have to move production somewhere else. But the process of switching to a new manufacturer takes time. U.S. companies may be thinking about alternate manufacturing sites like Vietnam and Latin America, but none of them has the infrastructure that China has been pouring money into for the past 20 years. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
Okay, John, thank you. Now some corporate stories we're watching this morning. Royal Caribbean has canceled 18 cruises because of the coronavirus outbreak, and it has also rejiggered its itineraries. And that's going to put a crimp on profit this year. Royal Caribbean says earnings will be lower by 65 cents a share. Shares of NVIDIA are higher by almost 7% in early trading. The chipmaker gave a strong forecast for the current quarter. Here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The Santa Clara-based company says revenue will be $3 billion, plus or minus 2%, in the fiscal first quarter. After slowing investment in their infrastructure last year, owners of the giant data centers that power internet services are spending again, including increasing their deployments of graphics chips used to boost artificial intelligence calculations. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Get ready for a name change overseas. For three centuries, it has been known as Royal Bank of Scotland, but later this year, RBS will be renamed NatWest Group. The move adopts the brand of the English branch network it's used since a merger 2 decades ago. Future is pointing to a modestly higher open on this Valentine's Day morning on Wall Street. S&P futures higher by 5 points. Dow futures up 28. NASDAQ futures a gain of 25 points. 10 years up 5/32, yield 1.59%. 2-year treasury yield 1.43%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg NBC Sports Report is brought to you by BMW. Test drive a BMW at your Tri-State BMW Center and receive exceptional offers on a new BMW. Visit them at tristatebmw.com. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are higher this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are posting modest gains right now. Dow futures up 23 points, S&P's gain 5, and NASDAQ futures rise by 24. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.6%. Gold is little changed, and Shanghai rose 0.4% overnight. Well, European markets are also quiet this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, retail sales, and at 10 o'clock, business inventories and Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, NVIDIA's Q4 revenue beat the highest estimates, and Roku's revenue beat estimates. Shares are up 8.5%. in the pre-market. In other news, Tesla offers 2.65 million shares at $767 a share. And wrapping things up, Mosaic was cut to neutral at Citigroup. BlackRock cut to hold at Deutsche Bank, and Zebra Tech raised to overweight over at JP Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And since you mentioned Tesla, those shares are down 1.5% in early trading. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. White House officials say that they still have full confidence in Attorney General William Barr, despite his comments about the president. During an interview with ABC, Barr says Trump's tweets make it impossible for him to do his job. Barr has been criticized in response to his handling of the Roger Stone case. President Trump says he may break the tradition of letting people listen in on his conversations with foreign leaders. Trump's comments come after his impeachment was triggered by a July phone call with the president of Ukraine. In the NHL, the Rangers won in a shootout against the Wild. The Devils won along with the Capitals. The Islanders lost. In the NBA, heading into the All-Star break, the Celtics beat the Clippers in double overtime. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, you can now print out chocolate.
Oh.
And they shouldn't have told me that. After experimenting with 3D printing for years, Barry Callebaut has found a way to handle the tempering of chocolate, which used to take an hour. Now it can make thousands of pieces much more quickly.
Oh, good.
The chocolatier is giving gourmet clients access to the method to create personalized designs. Nathan Calabot says an at-home machine is possible one day.
Oh, just in time for Valentine's Day. Nicely done, Michael, because what says love more than the whir of a 3D printer?
Yes, they'll make a chocolate in the shape of a bowling pin. That's love.
Well done.
Yeah, Brunswick. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Same to you, Michael. Thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital include Microsoft ordered to stop work on the Pentagon cloud contract for now, after a legal challenge from Amazon. The Senate voting to rein in President Trump's military authority against Iran, though not by enough of a margin to override a veto. And Judy Shelton coming under bipartisan fire at her confirmation hearing to join the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. Also making news this morning, Attorney General William Barr sounding off on Trump tweets. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter in our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C. Kate, we heard Michael Barr mention those comments to ABC News from the attorney general yesterday. Kind of an unusual statement from him, no?
It is a bit unusual, and I think particularly because Barr has been someone that's been such a staunch defender of the president that it is a bit unusual for him to come out so strongly and say that Trump's tweeting, which is really something that's fundamental to Trump's presidency, his whole Twitter, you know, persona, is making his job not only difficult but impossible.
Well, the question, I guess, that a lot of Democrats are asking when he talks about his job being more difficult because of the tweets, they're asking what job might that be, perhaps?
Well, exactly. And I think that that's the issue is, you know, I think the question is, in some ways, you know, Barr's comments distract from the fundamental issue, which is, you know, is the Justice Department an arm of the White House, which is what some Democrats are at this stage essentially alleging, you know, because of what the reactions have been to some of Trump's comments and, you know, reducing or going back on their recommendation vis-a-vis the Roger Stone case, you know, or is the Justice Department an independent law enforcement arm of the federal government? And I think that that's the fundamental question that, you know, Democrats are kind of trying to bring up right now.
Does this comment from Attorney General Barr alleviate that question to some extent, or is he still going to be potentially coming under more criticism and perhaps having to, you know, go up to Capitol Hill to face oversight?
Well, I think certainly there's still going to be a lot of questions for Bill Barr. I think to me, you know, an interesting question is whether these comments were designed, and as you say, to alleviate some of that pressure. I don't know that that's necessarily going to work, but I think it's interesting that the White House's reaction, you know, Trump certainly doesn't like to be defied. He definitely doesn't like to be defied publicly. We saw that yesterday, you know, even with a spat that he had a little bit on Twitter with his former White House chief of staff, John Kelly, who had gone out and spoken a little bit negatively about him. He doesn't like that sort of thing. He generally reacts badly to it. But so far, the White House has not been extremely negative about these comments. And so that's a bit surprising in a way. And I think that that raises the question of whether or not, you know, perhaps these were orchestrated to, you know, give Barr some breathing room from the from Congress.
As you mentioned, a lot of this has to do with the Roger Stone case itself, perhaps this providing something of a distraction from that. Where does the Roger Stone case go next?
So I think the next stage is going to be, you know, there will be a sentencing hearing with a judge who's an Obama appointee. And so we'll probably get that. It sounds like we'll get that hearing potentially next week unless something changes. And that is a judge that, you know, as I said, was appointed by Obama and, you know, has had some, you know, public difficulty with Trump that Trump has been publicly critical of. And so I think that could be an interesting question of how that all plays out.
All right, let's turn now to the latest in the 2020 presidential race. We've got the next round of voting in the Nevada caucuses coming up a week from tomorrow. And while there's no clear front runner after Iowa and New Hampshire, it seems that Bernie Sanders is causing a bit of jitters on Capitol Hill, and not just from Republicans.
That's right. And so I think it's interesting because even though the race is quite muddled, you know, Sanders is certainly someone that has a bit of momentum. He had a, you know, tight finish, but a victory in New Hampshire. He was came a close second in Iowa. And so I think there's a real sense out there that potentially he could be the person at the top of the ticket. And I think if you're a Democrat, particularly a Democrat in the House, who's running in one of these suburban districts that tends to be pretty centrist, you might be getting a little bit nervous. It might make you, you know, sweat a little bit to think about the idea of having Bernie Sanders at the top of the ticket with the idea that he might be too far to the left and that could push voters to support your Republican challenger rather than you. And so I think that's the concern that's out there right now.
And that's a concern that's kind of being mirrored in the Democratic race itself at the presidential level, right? Whether the Democrats go toward issues that lean to the left or whether to follow something of the blueprint that got many of those centrist freshman Democrats into the House to claim the majority just 2 years ago.
Well, exactly. And this is the fundamental question that's facing Democrats right now and one that they're going to have to reckon with, I think, before 2020 is, you know, is this a party that's going to try to win elections based on energizing the base and going further to the left? That certainly seems to be the Republican strategy with Trump is, you know, making it a base election, trying to energize the base and have them come out. Or is it going to be a big tent party that's going to try to reach out to maybe disaffected independents who don't really like Trump? And that's an issue, really, that Democrats are just going to have to reckon with.
And perhaps further complicating things before the Nevada caucuses a week from tomorrow, we've been reporting a powerful union in the state. The Culinary Union is not endorsing anyone. How significant is this?
Well, I think that that is just yet another thing that's a potential blow to Joe Biden's campaign. I think he was looking to potentially get that endorsement, and that could have been a boost to him prior to the Nevada caucuses. And I think that that is, you know, the next in a series of things that probably have been disappointing for the Biden campaign this week.
All right. Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. We'll leave it there for now as we head into a President's Holiday weekend in the nation's capital and the rest of the U.S. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on the Democratic primary race by typing ELEC Go on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. And here's Bob Moon.
Are your neighbors killing you? A study published in the journal Nature found that roughly half the air pollution originating in one state gets carried downwind across state boundaries, affecting the health of out-of-state residents and increasing their risk of dying early. Researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology use new computer tools to determine the biggest contributor to out-of-state deaths from upwind pollution turns out to be electric power generation. Looking at data from 2005, the researchers concluded that sulfur dioxide belched by smokestacks from power plants killed people in another state in more than 75% of the cases. The study did find a reduction in cross-border pollution, largely thanks to declines in emissions from electric power plants. Now they're concerned that emissions from other sources are adding to such harmful cross-state pollution. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Tesla down 1.5% this morning. Its latest offering pricing at $767 a share. That's boosting Tesla's market capitalization to almost $146 billion behind only Toyota, among the world's most valuable auto manufacturers. Futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures up 17. NASDAQ futures up 23. The 10-year Treasury up 7/32. Yield 1.59%. And the euro 1.0838 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.